This is the Sunday Feature. I'm Anthony Green. In this first edition, we look at the first in a two-part series on the topic reintegration of ex-offenders into society. Our guest is Jason Downs. Jason has been out of prison for just over a month.
And it was in prison, and it's just to have a prayer calls. The prisoners, Psalm 142, we have a first saying like, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise you." So that was my feeling there, that, you know what I'm saying, that experiencing that God really answered my prayer, and I could say that it was a load off of my shoulder after waking up and languishing for 4 years, 7 months, or there. It felt like if, you understand, like if I've had a whole entire planet off of my shoulder, you understand. So that was the greatest day of my life, you understand. And then it was also the hardest, because I had to tech check. Now I had to see that I reintegrated back society, and I have the challenges ahead of me that I didn't have for 4 years. I had to make sure that my freedom is my number one priority. I had to make sure that I blend in, I could say, reintegrate into society as a contributing and a responsible member of society. So all of these things come into one and made me check myself to a certain extent, because I came out a prison with a game plan not ever to get back in trouble, you understand me, whether or not whatever circumstances I surround, you understand. So I came out a prison that day with also challenges for me to maintain my freedom, you understand. Not only the overwhelming feeling of freedom, you know, but the feeling of maintaining freedom. So that was my biggest challenge when I walked down the court steps. Yes, it was felt so good to the embracement from my family, because my family really did well, and they're still doing it as we speak now, because they supported me so well and the acknowledgement changed a lot. So my mother, my sister, my whole entire family embraced me so well and encouraging me to maintain focus and maintain strong.
Being reunited with his family was special for Jason.
First of all, I called my sister, because my mother was at work. She screamed out, she couldn't believe that I'm home, that I actually home. So from there, now I told her, well, I by the court, and I looking to get home as soon as possible. So then from there, I went home, and then everybody embraced me. Everybody was so, you understand, happy to see me. Even my daughter, I went to my daughter life. She was 2 years old, and when it came out, she was 6 years old. So that gap was so wide, you understand, in our relationship. That was so good to see that it get closing up now, and she embraced me, and, you know, she feels so good that she daddy at home. And, you know, so which I mentioned too, that I'm a single parent also. So that feeling for her was so good, and also for myself, you see, to see that we born and knit back from being so long away from each other. So that was another good feeling that I had when I left prison, you see, to reunite, I could say, with my daughter. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah. And then mum came home in the evening.
Yes, mum came home in the evening.
What was that like?
Right, that was so good too also, because what happened is now she didn't know that when she came home that she would have saw me, you know what I mean? So that is what really makes you feel so good too. And then from there, we went on out to line up what I'm going to do, and, you know what I'm saying? And like I told you, well, it's full rehabilitate where smoking and stuff is concerned. I don't smoke, I don't drink. From the time I leave prison up to this day, I stay clean, I stay sober, you know what I'm saying? So we were like discussing my plans and stuff like that when we first in a settle, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, she did a proper meal for me, you know what I'm saying? Me, stuff like that. And like, from there, now I reassure she that I will not get into trouble, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, and like, I know, and she know also, that my path to prison came from the day that I rebelled against her guidance. She was an excellent mom, you know, but, you know, being influenced from friends and at that adolescent age, it was so weak. You know what I'm saying? And like, as it's mentioned in the paper, my self-esteem was so low that I don't really want to fit in. You know what I'm saying? And that is what caused the relationship between me and my mom to be so distant. You know what I'm saying? But she did her part. You know what I'm saying? So I explained to her that I will not get back to that path to prison again. You know what I'm saying? Because I know where I went wrong the day that I rebelled against your guidance. You know what I'm saying? And your teachings, that what got me here. And if I'd actually listened to you, mommy, I would have not been in prison. So that is exactly what I told her. And then we start to, you understand, go down the line for not getting back into trouble, things to do. She invited me to her church, and unfortunately didn't get there yet because it was so running wrong for this couple of weeks. And, you know, because it was out of the system also, to an ID card, and got enough things I had to run around.
You spoke about a game plan.
Right.
No. So now that you are out of prison, what is your game plan?
Right now, my first plan and my first priority now, as I said, is getting embraced from society, getting acknowledged from society that a convicted person can change. It's like, this is where I'm struggling now, because we know both know that our society is supposed to be, or I should say, is a Christian-based society where Jesus was one of the most inspirational and like great characters that ever walked this earth, and he was forgiving. You know what I'm saying? Jesus was probably the most forgiving person in this, you know, that ever walked this earth, and yet still our society despises Jesus. Our society probably just tried to be the character of Jesus, but yet still I don't see the forgivingness from our society that Jesus exhibit. You understand? So that is where now that I want to reach out to. I want to reach out to our society. I want to reach out to the employers out there that could find work for a convicted person. Yet still, I don't want to ask employers to expose their business to people that been to prison, for people that hard is, people that doing wrong, don't get me wrong, but to have inmates that utilize the institution for the best that they can. You understand? A lot of inmates that really learn from the mistakes that they made. You understand what I mean? And they will like the society understand that inmates really, really trying to apply what they learn from in prison to them everyday life, know that they reintegrate back to society. And that is where that I want to get my voice out. That is where that I want to be heard from society. You understand? To realize that we can change. You know what I mean? It's not that, yes, we struggling, our society struggling with inmates that reoffending, especially on capital offenses, that on bail and committing murder again while on bail. Yes, I can understand that, and I'm not justifying the actions of those inmates that do it, but what you're trying to say, the small and the lesser crime and the lesser inmates that facing this stigma from the same inmates that doing capital offenses, that is where that I see wrong. You know, so probably not wrong, that is where that I feeling a slightly a distaste where our society is concerned when it comes to embracing inmates that convicted. Or you understand? So that is where that I would like to let my voice go. You understand? To the ministers that out there, that, you know what I'm saying, if we go to a letter for recommendation, that they could see and advocate and highlight that, yes, you understand, meaning people can change. Well, I know that, as I told you, that seeing change is not change. That is where I really need society now to keep check on me, to let me show them that I change. That is where that my challenge is now, because I can't just say that I change and society cannot see me and see my change. So that is where that I need an opportunity now to wake up, say, utilize my potential. I say, unfortunately, I identify my potential while I was in prison, and like my potential is so clear to me now and so vigilant that I strongly believe that I need a chance to use it. You know what I'm saying? I know my strength now. I know that I made a mistake. I know that I learned from my mistake. You understand? And my grandmother taught me when I was small that making the same mistake twice cannot be a mistake anymore. It have to be a decision, and I'm not going to choose to go back in prison again. I'm not going to choose to cross the law. So automatically I get one of the greatest teachers that probably exists, a mistake, and I learn from it. You understand? So that is where now that I want society to understand that people can change, and not only people, convicted men can change. You understand what I mean?
What was rehabilitation like for you in prison, and how did you come to identify your potential while there?
Right now, first thing I can say by doing that, I had to stop. I had to slow down, because like I felt I was forced to, because there's no speeding now. And like before I went into prison, that is where like my life was moving at warp speed. I haven't had time to see nothing or acknowledge nothing. My first step in rehabilitation is accepting Jesus as my personal savior, or identifying or getting an intimate relationship with God while I was in prison. That was my first step. And I could just say thanks to Mr. Tull for helping me see that God reaching out for me and God calling me. You understand me? Because I couldn't do it with the same mentality that I had. You know what I'm saying? When I entered prison, and like only thing that changed my mentality that I could serve for the better was God. You know what I'm saying? Because he actually like cleansed my thoughts, cleansed my passion, you know, cleansed my heart. You know what I'm saying? Helped me to forgive. You know what I'm saying? Helped me to get rid of the bitterness that was inside me, right? Then from there, when I passed that stage, you know, I accept all the offers that the administration had to offer. I tried my best to utilize the institution the best that I could. So I did a whole heap of courses while I was in there. But the first one I had attacked was my anger, because my anger is what caused me to be in prison. So I had an excellent anger management program from in prison. I have to say, give thanks to Mr. Pilgrim, Mr. Sean Pilgrim. This is a prison psychologist. He really worked on my behavior. He really helped me to adjust my character where my anger is concerned, you understand? And that is like my first step when it comes to changing. It's like I changed my anger, I changed my personality, I changed my way of looking at people, I changed my bitterness, you understand? So that is it. And then from there, you know, my educational vibes, so I tried to educate myself to a certain extent while I was in prison. So that is the next step that I took to rehabilitating, you understand? I did some English, I did a whole heap of educational stuff that the prison had to offer, right? Then from there, you know, I employment wise, I get an opportunity to work in the, what you call the medical unit, which is some people call the prison hospital. Like any inmate can work in the prison hospital. First thing first, you have to be disciplined, you have to be probably slightly intelligent. I don't like to the thing, but that is like to being the option to work in there. You're just gonna be any other inmate. So that, so help me, boost me. It's like help me to see that yes, I get choose to do something that normally don't get choose. So that is what helped me know to wake up, say, prepare myself and do what the administration expect me to do, because then give me an opportunity to work where there's whole heap of things that prisoners were like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's blades, syringes, you name it, medication, all kinds of stuff that I had was in the environment, all, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and then I had to deal with the files, all the files of the inmates. When the doctor come, I had to be close to the doctor. So I get an opportunity to be of a character that required from the administration. So that helped me a lot to, they say, adjusting and practicing doing the right thing, you understand? So that was basically one of my big push that I got when I was in prison working in the medical unit, you understand? And I should say to give special thanks to Mrs. Nadia Scott, because she did well in accepting me, and also Mrs. Susan Gurridge, she did well too in embracing me and showing me that the route and helping me to understand that doing the right thing could help me while I leave prison. So I give special thanks to those two individuals.
Overcoming his drug addiction was critical to Jason's rehabilitation.
My drug rehab process, that was the last and where you could see the final block to my structure where it comes to being a firm individual when reintegrating back to society. Now I have to give special thanks to Mr. Peter Lord and Pio 2 L Pinder. They did great in rehabilitating me where my addiction was concerned, because as I say, like probably mentioned in the article in the paper, that I was a recovering addict. You know what I mean? So I could say by experiencing and utilizing illegal drugs was where that was my final stage, because I cannot come back into society with an addiction or with a problem. So that is where I should say the IDRC program, which is called the Inmate Drug Rehab Council in prison, did for me when it comes now to being a responsible and a contributing member to society. Right, so give the IDRC a round of applause, I should say.
And what advice would you give to at-risk youth in our society?
No, I should say the first advice that I can really give is the younger generation, like the ones that ain't rebel yet, right? Rebelling against your parents or I say our parents' guidance is be the biggest mistake that we will ever make in our life when it comes to taking a positive path. From the time you rebel against the guidance and the teachings of our parents, is the day that we're going to make, as they say again, the biggest mistake, to the fact that we just always tell ourselves that our parents is trying to run our life, or them trying to tell me what to do, you know what I'm saying? They trying to stop me from being popular, they trying to stop me from hanging out with my friends, not knowing that our parents is seeing and putting good in our life. You know what I'm saying? Meaning keeping us away from places that Your Majesty does, and not only from Your Majesty does, from what we call a premature death. You know what I'm saying? Meaning all of these things is when you rebel against our parents' guidance, is what can be a result. You know what I'm saying? So my first advice is to all of the youths that if they do it or they're about to do it, don't do it. Do not rebel against your parents' guidance, because that's really the biggest mistake. You understand? Second thing now is peer pressure, or the influence in a negative direction. Know that you all might be weak. People might be weak. People might not be as strong to see themselves as a leader, and only can see themselves as a follower. But there's a leader in every single one of you all out there that, you know, I'm struggling or being a victim of influence in a negative way. You like see yourself and I should say, try to acknowledge that your all self can be leaders, and don't follow people to do negative. If you could follow people to do positive, that would be the better choice. You understand? I mean, we all know that bad choices lead to bad circumstances. You understand? So in order for we to be strong, and in order for we to please or make our parents proud, is by seeing ourselves as leaders. You know what I'm saying? And seeing ourselves as people that strong, people that can do, you know what I'm saying, our own, rather than following people, you know what I'm saying, negative influence. You know what I'm saying? I should say. And second thing, stay away from illegal drugs. You know what I'm saying? Illegal drugs, like, you know, I don't want to mention a particular drug in one, because, you know, it might be, speaking about drugs could be walking on eggshells to a certain extent, because, you know, we society going through that process for legalizing marijuana and all kinds of things. So I don't want to elaborate on no particular drug. So it was state illegal drugs in whole. You understand? Meaning through the fact that when you are in an environment where drug is based, you always going to be a victim of it. You understand? Meaning whether or not. You understand? Meaning so keeping away from illegal drugs is a good start from seeing yourself, you know what I'm saying, as a positive youth out there. Stop trying to fit in. It's like weird that you are not supposed to do, because I realized that when I was in prison, I did also a purpose driven course. We're seeing our purpose, you know what I'm saying? And then I did a value education course. We're seeing the value of ourselves. So if these youths out there don't see the values, sir, is where that they're going to always fall victim of influence, because I realized that adding value to people's life is very important. You understand? That is what I like to also to do in my interview. Whoever listening and understand that I willing to add some kind of value to them life at this moment, this opportunity that I hear now, because I realize that people just want to feel value. People just want to feel that they're important, especially even if I should say it's somebody that is worth your care. You understand? You should always add value to them life. Let them know how important it is to them for washing your care, how it is, you know what I'm saying? So I strongly believe that these youths out there need value in them life, so that they can understand that, because some parents might not acknowledge that those children need value, those children need to be acknowledged, and that is sometimes why they might rebel, because they don't feel embraced. Yes, we just love our children, but we don't add value to our children's life. Inspire your all children. Inspiring a person now is allowing them to pull out from inside of them what already there.
Our topic, reintegration of ex-offenders into society. We're speaking to Jason Downs.
Do you think there's a misconception of what prison is like from young people, young men who've not been there before?
Yes, sir. That is what I can really say is so true, because, like, all right, we would call in prison, we just call it story movies. All right, when, especially the youths that are on blocks and stuff like that, when men that left prison, they go back on the blocks and star movies about prison. These youths out there that listening on the side, or the men only star movies where that prison seemed cool, you know what I'm saying? And prison seemed like a place that, yes, you could be stronger when you left, but them cannot add the movies or say where prison is like demoralizing, where that you got to wake up every morning and do what people tell you to do. You can't do nothing on your own. You have to bathe when you are told to bathe. You have to get feed when people tell you to feed. Sometimes men is be so hungry that them is gonna make deals with them morning bread to get another extra bread, you know what I'm saying, so that they could get something to eat. Them don't get them movies. So yes, I could agree with you that the misconception in prison is where that these youths facing, and that is why them end up wanting to experience prison, because of the movies that other inmates leave prison and come in and starring what we were calling prison, you know what I mean. So if you want it rather than not prison terms, and it could give, you know, in a probably a systematic way, these youngsters out there getting stories or getting tell that prison is so cool, prison is this place, is definitely not, you understand. And like, yes, even myself experiencing sitting at home, that the youth out there struggling. It's like we're not struggling because of this same thing that prison. Oh, yes, you know what I'm saying? I mean, eating, all right, this thing might sound funny, but I can't don't say it. These youngsters out there that following bosses and like say, oh, this is my boss. Look at how all of these youths, sir, want to walk about with a gun. You say, I want to, yeah, let me go with a gun. And you know, obviously, youths out there wanting to make money. Like, unfortunately, I'm not, like, advocating, like things to do, like, illegal. But money-wise things, you don't see it. You say, I don't hear no youths out there wanting to open a business. I don't hear no youths out there wanting to make money. Every youth's wanting a gun. You say, oh, yeah, we're going to street jam. Yeah, boss, let me go with a gun. These is all the things that Sensei came home that I seen. You know what I'm saying? And look at these bosses that all of these youths here working for these here youths. These shooting at them one another. These here killing them one another. And when you look at it, the bosses on boats drinking Belvedere, drinking whiskey, drinking all kinds of things together. And these same bosses, soldiers, shooting and gunning on them one another up on the street. You can believe that? And this is things that got me in a state of disgust to see that these youngsters out there getting influenced by these men that don't care nothing about them. You know what I mean? And these men that he's working for, as I spoke just now, adding a value to them life. These men don't care about them. You know what I mean? These men care about them children and them family members. You know what I mean? And that is where I would like the youths to understand what boss what. You know what I mean? What you want a gun to go by a street jam to look sweet and to think. You know what I mean? Nah. It's like, rather than seeing a gun, an illegal firearm, if you probably were edit this here. You know what I mean? But this is things that I see, and I don't know we, our society, is going to maintain struggling and maintain, because I know within myself that some youths might not be able to understand. Some youths will tell themselves, oh, he's on the radio talking to Banchek Gibridge, you know what I'm saying? But some might understand that, yes, you, this man could be right, but you believe that he went to a street jam the other day with my boss, and when he get home, I ain't even had $2. You say, I don't want bread and two, you know what I'm saying? But yes, still, it could be at a street jam where he gone a whole night, you know what I'm saying? And when he left, he can even give me $5 to buy a bread and two in the morning. I go and ask my mother, you know what I'm saying? Me to for $1.50 or for $2 that I could get a brand new tool. This is things that probably if you understand, or any youths out there listening can understand where that is coming from. You know what I mean? Do not allow no individual to call them a boss. You know what I mean? A boss is supposed to be a person that is gonna pay you, is gonna add value to your life, is gonna make sure that you know what I mean, comfortable. You know what I mean? Not a boss is gonna give you a gun to go on the street. I'm on a street jam, I look powerful. You know what I mean? Nah, you understand? That is where I would like these youngsters to understand that looking to oneself, boy, you see that this kind of lifestyle is not the lifestyle to be. You know what I mean? This kind of lifestyle, look at when all life 5 years from now, as a person that no left to, probably doing the CXs, probably doing nothing, how is it that when I can further one life doing this kind of lifetime? You know what I mean? When I get me always stick there upon the inferior end of people that supposed to be so-called bosses. You know what I mean? That is where I would like these dudes to understand, sir. You say that this life is a life that gonna lead to prison. And then not only that, when I was in prison, all these so-called youngsters that supposed to be bosses and thing that shooting about the place for them guns, up to now I see them struggling. You could believe that I shoot for here, up to now he ain't put $5 on my phone, up to now he ain't put $10 on my canteen, but yeah, still there's them boss. You see, and some of them so like uneducated that when I left prison after suffering or we could say languishing for so long, you know what I'm saying, being neglect, you know what I'm saying, yes, so they could go back to society and go back around these same men and do the same thing again. You see, automatically that probably a system that set, or probably that probably them destiny. I don't want to say that is me or is you that could change that, you know what I'm saying, but I could say that any youths out there that listening and understanding and could see what I am saying is what them going through it's rare them could try to nip it in the bud then, you say, or look to go a different direction, because I know that the things that I say now is something that some you out there could see that I speak in the gospel truth. You know what I'm saying? Where them life is concerned. You know what I'm saying? So ain't like I to all that I talk in Gibbridge. You know what I'm saying? Or talking folly. It's like I talking the truth where some individuals out there can't see that that is what them doing. You know what I'm saying? Even if them no wake up and hearing this program on the radio now, so you know what I'm saying? Me went to the street John last night, boy, look a lot, boy, the rolling over he gone the whole night, boy, and look a lot, and we got $5, you know what I'm saying, that I could buy a brand or two. So ain't like I talking Gibbridge, you know what I'm saying? Somebody this year could relate to, you understand?
Jason, what's next for you?
Right now, hopefully what next is God answering my other prayers. It's like wishing is like getting back in the system. It's like getting to see, acknowledge, you understand, as a person that changed, getting some kind of employment, getting to, when they go to the MP and he write a letter of recommendation, he put every single thing that I did in my past up front, you know what I mean, that hoping now that the employer now could give me a chance. It's like I really need, because I know that I'm backing my daughter, like my daughter got to go to school, my daughter got to get everything, and as a single parent, it's not hard. You know, since I come home, I promised my daughter to cash the fat, to charge this when I was in prison, up to now I ain't get there, because financially, I, you know what I'm saying, and like, I changed my life, ain't like a good to know the same so-called bosses or the same people and get a start or get something, anything. I come up with a positive plan. I come out where I drop real friends, real people that I used to be wrong, you know what I'm saying? I know that I back in society. I won't tell you, like, I even raised $150 yet since he came out of prison, you know what I'm saying? I struggling, you know what I'm saying? I didn't get to carry my daughter to get a burger at Jafet yet, you know what I'm telling you? So that is where that I want to think, not that I cry, no, or I think, but they ain't no work yet, they ain't no hustle as yet, you know what I'm saying? All know I received that information the other day with the entrepreneurship. As I told you there earlier, I would like to open up a little business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I realized that fashion and clothing is a very like, it's a strong investment. Where that people always want clothes. You see? So I looking now to see if I could think. I heard that the people is giving some entrepreneurship loan or something. They would like to get entitled for that. I went for my birth certificate yesterday. Go see if I get my ID card tech today. You know what I'm saying? So they know I'm looking out to see if I could get on that train. I getting some negative feedback on it too, because somebody told me yesterday morning that the people don't get out the loans and stuff like that no more. But that is where that I am. I'm looking out to get some kind of income, get some kind of stability where that I could be a father, where that I could contribute, where I could pay bills, where I could, you understand, pay taxes. It's like taking back my responsibilities from my mother, where employment is concerned, you know, where getting a chance is concerned. So you could see the position that I am in. Say, after 4 years, 7 months, my mother picking up my responsibility, it won't be fair that I know that I'm back in society, that I can contribute, you understand?
Jason Downs, ready to face the world again after his incarceration at Her Majesty's Prison, Dodds, on the first edition of the Sunday feature, next Sunday.
And the study that we did revealed that over 84% of the employers that we interviewed stated that they have never employed any person who was incarcerated. And 45% of those persons stated that whenever someone applies for a position at their particular establishment, they ask for a police certificate of character. Obviously, with the police certificate of character, the person's criminal history will be there as well.
A lot of the problems start within the home environment. A lot of the problems start within the communities. A lot of the problems start with issues like poverty, like community neglect, poor education, lack of opportunities, marginalization. But these are hard topics, and then the solutions to them are not.
Join us for part two, a conversation with Cheryl Willoughby and Kim Ramsey of the Criminal Justice Research and Planning Unit.
Baking. I've seen a few inmates who were in prison, who developed that skill in prison, who have now come home and set up their own small businesses, and they've been successful.
So there are success stories.